You know, it's fascinating how sometimes you can look at ancient writings, ancient prophecies even, and see these frameworks that seem to resonate with things happening right now.
Absolutely. You read the headlines about global power shifts, conflicts, and sometimes it feels like there are echoes from long, long ago.
That's exactly what we're getting into in this deep dive. We've pulled together quite a stack of sources for you. On one hand, recent news analysis really digging into these geopolitical shifts at the US, Russia, Ukraine, that whole dynamic. And on the other hand, interpretations of a very specific ancient prophecy. We're talking about the vision in Daniel chapter 7.
A really potent vision.
Right. So our mission here is to unpack what these sources say. What's in this vision? How are some people using it, like, as a lens for current events?
And crucially, what implications are they drawing? Especially this idea we found in the sources about a potential decline in U.S. influence globally.
Exactly. So let's start with the basics. Daniel chapter 7. What's the core vision according to our source material?
Okay, so Daniel describes this dream, these night visions. He sees four huge beasts coming up out of a great troubled sea. That's the image.
Beasts from a troubled sea. Sounds dramatic.
It is. And the interpretation in this source isn't literal monsters, of course. It sees them as symbols
A symbols for.
for real-world empires, powerful kingdoms that are, according to this interpretation, destined to rise one after another before a really significant future event mentioned in the text, basically the establishment of a final everlasting kingdom.
Got it. So four symbolic empires, what are they like based on this source's description?
Well, the first one is like a lion. And applying that, you look for a power whose dominance, its sort of hegemony, grows significantly.
Okay, lion, increasing power. What's next?
Second is a bear. This one's portrayed as rising up, waging devastating wars, conquering others.
A bear. Sounds aggressive.
Very. And there are specific details the source highlights from the text. The bear is raised up on one side, it has three ribs in its mouth, and it gets a command: arise, devour much flesh.
Wow, okay. Devour much flesh. That's
It
vivid.
really is. Then comes the third beast, like a leopard. This one, the source suggests, represents a kingdom with global influence, a truly worldwide reach.
Lion, bear, leopard. What's the fourth?
The fourth is described differently. Just terrifying, dreadful, incredibly strong, unlike the others. Its whole deal is devouring, breaking things, scamping what's left with iron teeth.
Sounds like the worst of the lot.
Pretty much. It also has 10 horns, and then this other little horn pops up, pushes three of the original horns aside, and speaks great things, which is usually interpreted as boastful or blasphemous speech.
Okay, so these four beasts are the main focus for connecting to current events, even though the vision continues.
Right. The vision does go on to describe a judgment scene, the Ancient of Days, a court sitting, and then this everlasting kingdom given to one like a son of man and the saints. But yes, for the interpretations we're looking at in our sources today, the focus is really on identifying these four empires, these beasts.
And this is where it gets really interesting regarding the US position, according to one source.
Yeah, this source makes a very direct, almost blunt argument. It states explicitly that the United States, as it is today, is not one of these symbolic beasts from Daniel 7.
Not any of them. Why not? What reasons do they give?
They offer a few key arguments based on their reading. One is about the current political will, or maybe lack thereof, in the U.S. They argue it just doesn't align with the aggressive, conquering nature described for these beasts.
Okay, so the perceived mood of the country doesn't fit.
That's part of it. They also talk about U.S. hegemony, its global dominance. The force argues it's actually in decline and likely to continue declining.
And how does that clash with the prophecy?
Or remember, the lion's hegemony increases, and the leopard has global reach. This source says the current U.S. trajectory doesn't match either of those. It's heading in the opposite direction, in their view.
That's a significant point. What else?
They also bring up the human cost of war. Looking at conflicts like the one in Ukraine, the source argues there isn't the appetite in the U.S. politically or socially to inflict or, frankly, endure the kind of massive casualties associated with the bear's command to devour much flesh, or the sheer destruction of the fourth beast.
So a reluctance for that scale of conflict.
Exactly. And they also point to something in the recent news analysis, this trend where traditional U.S. allies are actively trying to become less dependent on the U.S., both economically and militarily.
Ah, so allies looking elsewhere is seen as another sign.
Yes, presented as more evidence for this idea of receding U.S. influence, moving away from the kind of dominant power profile the source sees in the Daniel 7 beasts.
So the core argument boils down to The U.S. right now just doesn't fit the mold of these rising, aggressive empires described in the prophecy, according to this interpretation.
Precisely. And they use the current situation, particularly around the Ukraine war, almost as a case study to support this assessment of U.S. influence.
Okay, let's connect those dots. How does the recent news about the Ukraine conflict fit into this source's view?
One analysis we looked at framed the situation interestingly. It suggested the real battle isn't just military, but also for influence over key figures, like President Trump. It highlights U.S. importance, sure, but maybe also how unstable that influence might be.
Right. And there was that specific event, the phone call in May 2025 between Trump and Putin. What did the sources say about that?
According to the analysis we have, President Trump suggested Ukraine and Russia should negotiate directly. He apparently stressed, as only they can, and even floated the Vatican as a possible place for talks.
And how did the source interpret that move?
The analysis suggests that by pushing for direct talks while the fighting was still intense, Trump effectively seemed to, perhaps unintentionally, side with Putin's preference. They went so far as to say Putin seemed to get what he wanted from that call, interpreting it to mean Putin perhaps doesn't feel he needs U.S. leverage as much anymore, showing how little he needs him, was the phrase used.
And didn't Trump also mention possibly stepping back?
Yes, that's highlighted too. Comments about potentially withdrawing support if there's no progress, I just back away. The source presents this as possible evidence of a shift towards a less interventionist U.S. role. What one source called a smaller view of America's place in the world.
What was the reaction elsewhere? Did the sources mention Europe?
They did. It notes that the UK and other European nations announced new sanctions on Russia after that call, implying the call didn't really yield concessions from their point of view.
So they weren't happy with the outcome?
Apparently not. European leaders were reportedly quite surprised by how positively Trump described his conversation with Putin.
And Ukraine's perspective.
President Zelensky was quoted expressing the need for the U.S. not to distance itself from the negotiation process, which again reflects this potential shift being observed.
So pulling it together, these sources are presenting these recent events as signs of the limits on current U.S. influence, especially regarding the Ukraine war.
Exactly. And suggesting a potential pullback from that traditional global leadership role. This all feeds into that source's argument that the U.S. is declining in influence and therefore doesn't fit the Daniel 7 beast prophecies.
Okay, so if the U.S. isn't seen as one of these beasts by this source, the obvious next question is, who might be? Does the source point fingers anywhere else?
It does raise a specific question. Could Russia be the symbolic bear from Daniel 7?
Ah, the bear. Remind us of its characteristics again.
Rising up, waging devastating wars, conquering, remember, raised up on one side with three ribs in its mouth, told to devour much flesh.
Right, the three ribs. How does the source interpret that detail in relation to Russia?
Well, if Russia is the bear, this source suggests those three ribs could represent specific territories or political entities that Russia is destined to conquer.
Okay. Do they get more specific?
They make a pretty striking statement connecting it directly to Ukraine. They quote the three ribs in the bear's mouth part and then state that if Ukraine is lost, there are potentially two more ribs in the bear's mouth that will be conquered in the same fashion by Russia before it engulfs Europe in devastating war.
Wow. That's a very heavy potential scenario they're outlining based on that interpretation.
Extremely. It links the ancient text directly to a potential future conquest beyond the current conflict.
Does the source offer any other reasons why Russia might fit the bear description?
It makes an observation about Russia's societal resilience, or perhaps tolerance, for the hardships of war. It suggests Russia appears more immune to the tragedies of a wartime society than most of the world.
And they connect that to?
To the bear's command to devour much flesh and its destiny for devastating wars. They see a parallel there. Plus, the news sources we looked at emphasize Russia's current maximalist bazans in the conflict terms Ukraine finds impossible. This suggests, to the source, a continued drive for conquest, fitting that devour much flesh imagery.
Okay, so let's try to summarize the picture painted by these sources we've examined. We have Daniel 7 describing this sequence of powerful beast-like empires.
Right.
We have one specific source arguing strongly that the U.S. doesn't fit these descriptions, primarily due to what they see as declining global influence, using the limited impact on the Ukraine war as a key piece of evidence.
Uh-huh. That's the core of their argument about the U.S.
And then that same source, operating within this prophetic framework, explicitly raises the possibility of Russia being the symbolic bear.
With that really concerning interpretation of the three ribs, potentially meaning further conquests after Ukraine, possibly leading to a wider European war.
Now, there's a critical implication that one source draws from all of this, particularly the assessment of the U.S. role and influence regarding Ukraine. What was that?
It's quite stark, actually. They state that the perceived limited influence of the U.S. on the Ukraine war is seen by them as an indicator that we may be on the threshold of the worst global disaster humankind has ever experienced, the rise of the fourth beast.
So they're explicitly linking the current geopolitical situation, the U.S. stance, the Russian actions as interpreted through Daniel 7, to the potential emergence of that final terrifying empire from the prophecy.
That's exactly the connection they're making. What's happening now, in their view, could be the immediate precursor to that final stage described in Daniel's vision.
It certainly gives you a different and maybe unsettling lens through which to view current events. So reflecting on everything these sources have presented, the final thought we want to leave you with is this.
Given this specific interpretation laid out in our sources, if things continue down the path suggested if Ukraine were potentially lost, and if the hints of further Russian aggression symbolized by the bear prove accurate according to this view.
And at the same time, if this assessment of declining U.S. influence holds true, do these developments, viewed through this particular prophetic lens, start to converge?
Do they suggest, as this source believes, that we might actually be witnessing events aligning with the ancient prophecy of Daniel 7, potentially signaling the rise of those foretold empires?
It's a heavy question, drawn directly from the analysis we've explored today, and it really leaves us all just watching the news, doesn't it? Waiting, perhaps, to see what unfolds next in Ukraine, and what that might imply for the bigger picture.